This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Seven 14 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and now we're taking a look at what's happening in Saudi Arabia. So, on Sunday, Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, perhaps better known as MBS in some quarters, called for a political solution over a military intervention, or as opposed to a military intervention, in terms of Saudi Arabia's current conflict with Iran. This is after attacks on the country's oil facilities, where the drone strikes knocked out about half of its oil production, or about 5% of the global oil supply, and sent oil prices soaring.
MBS called the attacks an act of war, but believes that a peaceful solution would work best, as military confrontation with Iran would lead to a global economy fall. An armed confrontation could cause crude prices to spike to unimaginably high prices, and that would collapse the global economy.
And he also urged the world to take a stronger and firmer action to deter Iran and prevent the situation from escalating any further. Iran, of course, has denied any involvement, despite the US, Saudi Arabia and their allies claiming otherwise.
Yeah, so this is a complex situation, and it's, I think, made all the more complex by the fact that this is the latest spike in a long-running conflict, right? Mm. It's not as if Saudi Arabia and Iran were getting along famously and then suddenly this happened. Instead, it is not a culmination, but it is just an addition to all the different conflicts that have been present between the two countries, you know, over a long period of time, over decades.
And I don't know, in a way, I guess it's basically a proxy sort of confrontation, right? Like, US is in conflict with Russia and China, for example, and they do this through Iran and Saudi Arabia, who in turn do it in Yemen, for example. And it's all just a mess, really.
So we therefore wanted to look a little bit more closely at that statement that's come through for a political solution as opposed to a military intervention and what that might mean. We're joined now by James Dorsey, a senior fellow at the Middle East Institute of the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. James, thank you for joining us. So is there conclusive proof that Iran, first things first, do we know whether Iran is responsible for the oil strikes in Saudi?
Not yet. I mean, basically what you have is an assertion by the United States, which came out almost immediately and said Iran is responsible. The Saudis have been far more circumspect, saying exclusively that they believe it came from the north, which would mean either Iran or southern Iraq, where there are militias that are aligned with Iran. And they've said it was Iranian-made weapons. So what it really boils down to is a definition of responsibility. If these things were fired from Iran itself, then obviously Iran is responsible. If it was Iranian-made weapons, then you're on a slippery slope, because by the same token, the Saudi use of U.S. weapons in Yemen would make the U.S. responsible.
Right. And can you give us your thoughts on the Saudi Crown Prince's statement and objection to military action? What could be driving this approach?
Well, I think several things. One is, neither the United States nor Saudi Arabia nor Iran want a military confrontation. If there were a military retaliation for the attacks on the Saudi oil facilities, then military escalation is almost inevitable. And as a result of that, the Americans and the Saudis are trying to find a non-military response. There's also another reason, and that is that President Trump's response to these attacks has been very transactional. What he's basically said is, this was not an attack on the United States. It was an attack on Saudi Arabia. We're willing to help them, but they have to pay. And in those circumstances, Saudi Arabia does not want to be the lead in any military action.
And how much does this have to do with this image that Prince Mohammed is trying to portray to the world as a leader who is taking Saudi Arabia towards a more modern and liberalized direction?
Well, I think it has something to do with it, but it has to do with a much larger issue, which is that U.S. policy and the perception, one, that President Trump is unreliable, two, that the United States may over time want to draw down its presence in the Middle East, has led to basically a change in Saudi policy. So if you saw over the last 8 years since the popular Arab revolts in 2011, a very aggressive, go-it-alone, almost reckless Saudi foreign and defense policy, what you're now seeing is a far greater outreach to the media and public diplomacy, far more consultation, and even an embrace of multilateralism.
So is a political approach also more about domestic economics, seeing that Prince Mohammed has also been trying to prop up the economy with his recent progressive measures?
Well, I'm not sure it has such much to do with the domestic economy, in the sense that this is a problem for the economy. So with other words, you've got a region that is on the verge of a conflict. You've just had a demonstration of the vulnerability of the kingdom's most valuable and most crucial assets. That's not necessarily conducive for an initial public offering of the state-owned oil company Aramco, or for foreign direct investment. So Saudi Arabia, on the one hand, has a vested, one would imagine, a vested interest in trying to find a negotiated solution. Yet, on the other hand, given its regional ambitions, given its definition of survival of the regime in Saudi Arabia, has so far been unwilling to make any moves towards negotiation, even if there were reports out of Tehran today that the Crown Prince had sent messages to Iran in the last few days. There's no confirmation of that, nor any clarity what would have been in those messages.
What peaceful non-military options does Saudi Arabia have at this point?
Basically, the only options Saudi Arabia has are U.S. options, which are tighter sanctions. Fact of the matter is the sanctions have not worked. And how much more can you sanction Iran? So this is really about trying to do something that is more about face than about retaliation, unless you engage in cyber warfare. But that carries risks with it, too.
Prince MBS has invited the international community to take strong and firm action to deter Iran. Is this message aimed specifically at the United States?
No, he's speaking to everybody. But nobody wants, and that includes the Europeans, the Chinese, the Russians, nobody wants a military escalation. Now, the difference between the United States and others is, and particularly the Russians, the Chinese, and perhaps the Indians, for that matter, is that the United States basically wants Iran to come to the table with the sanctions still in place and no U.S. return to the 2015 international agreement that curbed Iran's nuclear program. And those are conditions that are unacceptable for the Iranians. So what you're getting as a result is variations on the theme of looking at a different security architecture in the Gulf, one that would be multilateral, and in which the United States would only be one player alongside Russia, China, India, possibly Japan.
So the UK, France and Saudi Arabia are urging President Trump to meet with Iran President Hassan Rouhani. How are those efforts progressing?
Well, it's gone nowhere. I mean, at one point, Trump was sitting in a room waiting for a phone call at the United Nations, and the phone call never came. I think there are two issues. Basically, the preconditions on which you meet, on which the Iranians and the Americans cannot agree, and probably also an Iranian preference for a multilateral meeting in which the United States would be only one of several parties. And that's something that's probably going to not go down very well with Trump. Let's remember that he's staked his campaign and a lot of his foreign policy over the last 2 years on a very hard line towards Iran.
So what repercussions will this hard line towards Iran have? Would they exacerbate existing tensions in the region?
Well, they'll exacerbate them in the sense that Iran has moved from what it initially called, after the U.S. withdrawal from the nuclear agreement, strategic patience, to what is now called strategic escalation. So the strategy there basically is to take the region literally to the brink of war in the hope that because nobody wants war, that will force a negotiation on terms that are acceptable to everybody. And if the Iranians were responsible or in any way connected to the attacks on the oil fields, then that would have been part of that strategic escalation.
So if there are no peaceful or diplomatic solutions on the horizon, how likely is war going to happen?
It's a significant risk. I think what you're seeing is a game of high-stakes poker, and the Iranians will push this thing to the brink. But they do not want a war. What they want to do is break the stalemate. Break the stalemate, you can only fundamentally do one of three conditions. You have a basis for negotiation, which we don't have at the moment. You surrender, or you push us to the point that the price of not negotiating gets too high.
James, thank you so much for your perspective. That was James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the Middle East Institute of the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you think about this. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.